This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
Alrighty, we are back, and we're going to hear from Mr. Levine. Joe, I don't have the clip that we were going to play because we were going to play the clip that right now, even as Israel is marching in, to Gaza there. So, but we're going to hear from Mr. Levine. So take us away.
The rabid Marxist ideologue, Byron York, writing in the Washington Examiner. I'm going to use this issue of the border and her pathetic speech, which kind of demonstrated everything when she walked about 20 yards on the border for about 20 minutes. Never found a single illegal alien. There's millions of them. She doesn't find one. Then she gives this speech. When she was running, Byron York points out way back when, in that campaign in 2019, Harris favored decriminalizing illegal border crossings. She also favored taxpayer-funded health care for illegal immigrants. She favored sanctuary cities. She would have expanded the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program and given deportation relief, quote-unquote, to millions of people in the United States illegally. At the same time, she opposed virtually everything then-President Donald Trump did to secure the border, from strengthening physical barriers on the border to the Remain in Mexico program to detention and expulsion of illegal border crossers. Had Harris miraculously won the White House in 2020, she would have set off the same border crisis that Biden did, and maybe worse. So when Biden actually did set off the crisis, he had Harris's full support. When Biden put her in charge of dealing with the root causes, quote unquote, of the crisis he had caused, he, she, and everyone else understood it was a way of appearing to deal with the problem without dealing with the problem. And that is precisely what Harris did. She took a few perfunctory actions and things got worse. Because she's a Marxist radical ideologue, just like Daddy. She's a pathological liar from her friends at the Center for Immigration Studies. She keeps waving around this bipartisan bill. And she says, if I'm elected, that bill will come up and we will get it voted on. And I'm used to dealing in bipartisan ways. I'm used to dealing across the aisle. And it was Donald Trump who stopped this. Not the bill. Not the bill. And Donald Trump caused the border crisis. Pathological, serial liar. They say that the center has previously analyzed that bill, and to say that it offered more new impediments to border security than it would have eliminated would be an understatement. The issue is that the bill itself is 380 pages long, and I guarantee you she hasn't read it, and few, if any, in the press have the time or acuity to not only read it, but more importantly, to understand what it would do and what it wouldn't do. Consequently, most of Harris's claims about the legislation have not been publicly challenged. I've been trying to do this as much as I can. Moderator David Muir, remember him, the phony during the ABC News debate? He did not do much to advance understanding of the bill when he followed up Harris's statements with the following question to Trump. Let me just ask, though, why did you try to kill that bill and successfully so? That would have put thousands of additional agents and officers on the border. It didn't. That, as we say, they write, assumes a fact, not an evidence. That bill died because it needed to die. While reading thousands of lines of complicated bill text is a challenge for most reporters, actually looking up the Senate vote count on that bill is not. James Lankford was the only Republican Senate supporter of that bill who could objectively be called, as Harris put it, most conservative. Centrist senators, Mitt Romney, Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins also voted in favor during the test vote. But notably, opposition was bipartisan as well. Massachusetts Democratic Senators Elizabeth Warren and Ed Markey voted against it. California Democratic Senator Alex Padilla, New Jersey Democrat Bob Menendez, now heading to prison, and even Senator Bernie Sanders, Stalinist, they voted against it and joined the 45 Republicans. If anything, there was bipartisan opposition to the bill. And by the time the bill came up for a second vote, its last vote in May, opposition to it was pouring in from both sides of the aisle, with Senators Cory Booker, Democrat, LaFonso Butler, California, Democrat, and even Lankford and Sinema voting no. Murkowski was the only Republican holdout still in support. They point out, I seriously question whether people like Sanders, Booker, or Warren would even take a call from Donald Trump and can guarantee that they wouldn't allow their decision to be swayed by him. She's a pathological liar, and so are you frauds in the media. All you had to do is look at the vote, and you would know she's been lying and lying and lying. All you had to do is read the bill, give it to one of your interns or research assistants, and you would know that you are repeating her propaganda. But that's what you want to do, isn't it? This bill made catch and release the law, making stay in Mexico impossible. Should Donald Trump, God willing, be elected president, the bill would require work permits for illegal aliens on a pathway to citizenship. The bill would require provision of taxpayer-funded lawyers. You folks who can barely make ends meet, you'd be paying for lawyers for illegal aliens. That's in the bill. The bill would make legal up to 5,000 illegal aliens a day. That's 1.8 million a year, not even including gotaways. Tens of billions of dollars for sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. Tens of billions of dollars for NGOs, these front groups that keep pushing illegal immigration. It would have done nothing. You know what it was? It would have enshrined 95% of Biden's activities. It was an amnesty bill. Now, Kamala Harris keeps saying she prosecuted transnational groups. Oh, yeah, I know who these people are. I'm a tough prosecutor. I know how this works. When I was Attorney General of California, I know who these people are. You don't need to lecture me about prosecuting these people. Oh, yes, I do. I have looked. I've asked the media to look. Now others are looking. I can't find a single actual case in which she was the actual prosecutor, where she actually went in the court and litigated the case, let alone with transnational gangs. If I'm wrong, I ask Kamala and her campaign, please present us with a stack of prosecutions that you personally handled as DA for 8 years and Attorney General for 8 years. Why is it like finding where's Waldo? Or for that matter, where's Kamala? But even that aside, Joel Pollack writes, former Trump administration Department of Justice official Jeff Clark said that he can't find evidence that Kamala Harris ever personally did the prosecution of a single case at the local or state level. I cannot either. So why do I have to look? If they're proud of her record as a prosecutor, give it to us. I'm looking to see whether she actually first chaired a trial ever, Clark told Charlie Kirk. And Pollack says, one would think that records of her case would be pretty easy to find online, but that's not the case for that time period. Go ahead and look. Clark notes that he might have to do some research in person and actually go to courthouses and find out. In other words, it's a joke. Remember, she said she could reach across the aisle, she says in this speech, unlike Trump, who's so partisan and so political. Oh, Kamala, this one speech gave us every aspect of her pathetic personality traits, every single one. I can reach across the aisle. So the Washington Examiner wrote a few months back, Kamala Harris's big lie. Harris has never attempted bipartisanship in her entire career, nor passed any bipartisan legislation. It's no coincidence that Harris ranked as the most left-wing senator while she was in the Senate. She was a reliable vote for the most partisan Democratic legislation as vice president. She continued the same way, casting more tie-breaking votes than any other vice president in American history. All of them for the most partisan, most divisive, most radical legislation the Democratic caucus could muster. And now we get to the end. This isn't about Kamala Harris. This is about keeping her out of the presidency. She's a wrecking ball. She's a liar. She's a mess. She should be nowhere near the presidency. And for those who are upset about my telling the truth about Kamala, her personality, I would say character, but I don't think there's much there. You're being mean, Mark. I don't need lectures from people who called Donald Trump Hitler. Joy Reid, the rest of the reprobates in Conga Line on MSNBC, and the usual reprobates. Here's what we know, thanks to ICE. This is the factual, actual, unequivocal, undebatable result of Harris and Biden on the border, or not on the border. 20 million illegal aliens. 13,099 murderers released into our country, roaming in your communities right now. 15,811 released rapists. Catch and release. Catch and release. That's part of the bipartisan bill, you know, into our country. 425,431 released convicted criminals who've committed other crimes into our country. Ladies and gentlemen, that's 500,000 criminals. 350 released terrorists. 325,000 missing unaccompanied children. Hundreds of thousands of missing women sold into sex slavery. She did this. Biden did this. They did this. They are contemptible. They lie. They're extremists. And they mumble about it.
Well, that's exactly what they're doing. And, you know, Joe and Kenny, the this fellow that Ryan Roth, who tried to kill President Trump, he's got a son. His name is Orhan. Now, remember what we had said earlier about the Democratic Party, the elite being flush with pedophilia. Here they're saying, now this Orhan is a pedophile. He was arrested on child porn with possession of a lot of child porn. And more than likely, he was used. They say that these pedophiles, many of them were, they were brought up in that lifestyle as pedophilia, and they turned to that. And more than likely, Orrin Roth would, in fact, he's going to be in court in federal charges tomorrow of pornography. And so there you go, another one more Democrat. And, you know, again...
No, but you're just a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, conspiracies all over the place, right? Well, here's a conspiracy. You know, there have been a lot of people screaming about where's FEMA with this horrible storm we've had.
Woke.
And,
FEMA be woke.
Yeah, FEMA be woke. Exactly what it comes to. I want to look at the website, the Federal Emergency Management Agency's website lists a set of three goals, part of their strategic plan to address challenges in emergency. Well, I took it off the quote right off the website. First, we must instill equity as a foundation of emergency management. Systems that foster inequality serve no one, especially in times of crisis. We must recognize that disasters affect individuals and communities differently, commit ourselves to reducing barriers to access, and deliver equitable outcomes for all we serve. I'm going to finish, and then I want you to comment on that, because that has got to be the biggest bunch of claptrap I've ever heard. Second, we must lead the whole community in climate resilience. We must recognize we are facing a climate crisis and educate ourselves and the nation about the impacts our changing climate poses to the field of emergency management. And third, we must promote and sustain a ready FEMA and a prepared nation. Well, they weren't prepared. A lot of the money has been spent. I've got a couple articles about, well, Congress kind of left some money, but it might not be enough. And they remember they went on break and they had the continuing resolution. So, I mean, there's a huge story there. But the idea that the first thing we must instill equity, because, you know, systems that foster inequality serve no one. Well, you know, when there's emergency, these first responders go door to door, house to house, crawling in, pulling out people that are trapped. They never stop and ask what sex, what age, what your sexual persuasion is. I mean, we have seen emergency management teams. We've seen people go from Katrina, you know, rednecks come in on their boats. I mean, never have we seen anything anywhere in this country where people in need in a national emergency weren't helped all equally. People got there as fast as they could. The only reason some people were served before others is people, you know, rescue people could get to them quicker than some of the remote, you know, harder to get to locations. And for them to start off with something like that, first and foremost in their strategic plan, it almost borders on being criminal, right?
Mm-hmm. Stupid is as stupid does, Joe.
That's one way to put it.
The idea is like this, all right? You have this Helena. So you have these floods taking place. And there's 17 people out there in deep water. And but that before they could go out there, they got to decide how many are Hispanic, how many are black, and how many are white. And so you've gone out there, and so there was 10 of them that were white. But there was only 4 Hispanics and 3 blacks, so they could only save no more than 4 white people because they had to save as many as equal black or Hispanic.
And Hispanics, yeah, that's equity. See, equal yeah. results, right?
Instead of saving those who were in the worst trouble, you know.
And which is what emergency management does. It's like in a hospital, the emergency room, the trauma, they rate them on who's the most critical. The most critically injured or ill person gets treatment first, right? It's not by what your sex is or your preference or anything else. It's
or your pronouns.
Your illness or injury is. That's the way it's always been in this country. And what they're trying to do is make it look like this country's never been fair to its people, which is just the opposite of what America has always been about.
You know, this brings me to something I wanted to say. You know, as you know, I spent last week in the hospital, and I went in Hillcrest Hospital there in Mayfield Heights. It's part of the Cleveland Clinic. And I do want to say this, Joe, that those people didn't use equity. Those people used common sense. And I want to say that they were very professional. I wanted to say that I got the best treatment that, you know, I was very, very absolutely pleased with the treatment that they have. And just like I said, very professional. They were doing their jobs out there really to help people. And I want to say hats off to all the folks there at Hillcrest Hospital. I'm going to later on give some special people. There were a couple nurses that really went out of their way to make my stay as comfortable as they could. And I really do appreciate that, the way that they took care of all of their patients, Joe. All of their patients got...
Are you trying to get them in trouble? You mean they didn't ask you what your sexual preference, anything? They didn't, you know... They didn't follow any of the DEI rules. You're going to get them in trouble.
Well,
they're going to lose every cent of funding that they get.
Right. I guess I didn't look like the type of person that had a sexual preference.
Oh, okay.
All right. Anyhow, but I do want to say
we still have so many good people that and the doctors and nurses. Same thing. I've got a wonderful VA. Truman VA here in Columbia, Missouri, and they have just been wonderful to the vets, and everybody's treated equally and with dignity and respect, and this is the way the America that I know is supposed to function.
Well, you know, I wanted to say this, that that staff there that I was with were very, very pro-life, and remember, Joe, it was about 25 years ago that I led a protest against Hilk, this very same hospital. I led a protest. I had 700 people, Joe, 700 people in front of this protesting his hospital for doing abortions, and they stopped doing them.
And, wonderful, wonderful. And, praise the Lord.
And so, very good. And so, anyhow, I just thought I wanted to bring that up because they really gave me a very, very excellent service, and I do appreciate it. Because, you know, in this world today, so often seniors are not appreciated with, and, you know, we're, you know, it's like, what's his name?
Eaters.
Like Rahm Emanuel's brother says, by 74, you're no more.
More, right.
Like Governor Lamb said,
Cedar, you're not productive anymore. You're not making money for the economy. You're not doing a service. Hey, wait a minute. We're still working just as hard as we have for, you know, the past 30, 40 years. So I don't know what the change has been.
Well, I do. It takes us a lot longer to get the same amount of work done.
Well, that's like that, but we still get her done, don't we?
Yeah, we do. That's right. All of these years.
Well, you're still talking for 2 hours a night.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. The prep time takes a little longer, though, but I guess that's none of their business.
Absolutely. So
maybe a couple extra naps throughout the day, but that's okay.
Yeah, naps are a wonderful thing, right?
I wish I had time for one, Ken. I really wish I had time for one.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, that's why they're such a wonderful thing. Insane COVID court convicts. This is something that we just touched on last week, but insane COVID court convicts Austrian woman of grossly negligent homicide for fatally infecting her neighbor with COVID-19. Boy, what would that do to Governor Cuomo for what he did to all those people in the nursing home?
Oh, they acquitted him. I just saw the headline. They didn't charge him with anything. He got away with it.
I wonder what it cost him, how much he had to pass off to Mary Garland.
I don't even want to go there, but he ended up walking scot-free.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, if you're a Democrat, bad decisions usually you get promoted.
What if he says, if I go down, I can take a whole lot of you with me? Do you think maybe that has something to do with it? And do you think that we're not going to hear a whole lot about all those people that were at P. Diddy's place because there was a number of high-ranking Democrats, including Hillary Clinton and that were involved in P. Diddy. So do you think that that's never going to be adjudicated?
Well, all of a sudden, nobody in Hollywood seems to know who he was, what parties. I didn't know anything about parties at his place. There was some dancing and things, and people drank too much, and all of a sudden, denial. The whole Hollywood's in denial.
And a lot of them were completely just wiping clean all of their social media, just all their accounts. Just
pictures of him, yeah.
For no reason, though. I mean, they just decided, you know, hey, it's probably a good day to just delete everything.
You mean guilt by association, Ken?
No. But I didn't say that. Why would I? What?
Oh, I thought that's what you were inferring.
No. It's just a coincidence.
Just a coincidence. Yeah, coincidence. Yeah.
You know, going back to this woman, this Austrian woman, this prosecutor there must think that he's a part of the Justice Department here in the U.S. because this woman's a 54-year-old Austrian woman, and because she stopped to talk to her neighbor in the stairwell, and she talked to him, they said that she spread viral DNA before the neighbor, and he got sick with COVID-19 and died of pneumonia. Because she stopped and talked to him in the stairwell, and he caught it from her, they're charging her with murder.
Wait, she spread viral DNA?
Yeah.
Did she even know she was sick?
I don't think so, no.
So they're charging her for making him sick, and she didn't know she was sick. Okay,
even if she knew she was sick, how can you charge her with murder?
Negligent. It's negligent homicide. Which
homicide.
Is
okay, but I mean, I guess I mean anything goes nowadays in these court systems, but.
It's absolute corruption, absolute corruption. They sometimes want to push and just see how much the people will take.
Yeah.
How much of their incentive, how far can we push them, how crazy can we get? You know, like putting Tampax machines in boys' bathrooms and like teaching people that both men can have babies, how crazy can we get today? It seems like the insanity within all that is called Democrat today. It's really, you notice all of this stuff with this, all of this election fraud. You say, well, it's done on both sides. The problem of it is 99% of it, okay? 99% of the illegal ballots are all for Democrats.
Yeah, you and I keep looking. If there was, we found foul play with Republicans playing with things, we've called it. I can't remember finding one where there was, I think there was one story where some Republican had voted two or three times or something, and that's about the worst I can remember in years.
Yeah, and you find out that's a very rare one. That's why it makes news.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But here's how the insanity... You want to know the insanity? Here you go. In Arizona, absolutely heartbreaking. A grandmother is arrested and threatened with jail for giving food to hungry people. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you imagine giving food to hungry people? What a crime. What kind of a woman would do
such? She broke a city ordinance. Did you know that? She broke a little ordinance about feeding people in the park.
And so here, you talk about, that is the result of a federal court decision in Arizona. The Institute for Justice reports a new ruling from U.S. District Court. They concluded that the law in Bothell City, Arizona, that makes it a crime to give food to hungry people in public parks, it's constitutional. That is insanity. That's the Institute. It's unbelievable. Norma Thornton, a grandmother at the Institute for Justice, says that they will be appealing that decision. I hope they appeal it.
Yeah, okay. I hope they do. Yes.
That is, again...
They say it's a Class 2 misdemeanor, but that's enough to get, I guess, jail time.
Well, look, God says we're to feed the hungry. Read Matthew chapter 25. So now, these people there in Arizona...
That's what God said, Pastor Ernie. He's to them irrelevant, isn't he?
Yes, but he's not irrelevant to us.
Right, or he will not be to them someday. So, they'll find out how irrelevant he really is, right?
So this is proof positive. Listen, Joe, this is proof positive that city council are made up of fools. They're fools. They're trying to overrule God, aren't they?
Exactly, and not going to do very well, are they?
It's crazy.
Well, I mean, you and I could call somebody a fool, and it could mean something, but... If God calls you a fool, are you a fool?
Big time.
Better believe it.
There you go. Boy, I'm going to tell you.
But it's crazy because headlines like these don't even surprise me anymore. It really doesn't even surprise me.
Yeah, you get jaded after a while, don't you?
Yeah, a little bit.
I know, but you never wonder what could they possibly come up with next. But here's some good news. RFK Jr. says that the DOJ, the Department of Jerks, under Trump, will launch a RICO investigation into collusion between the medical boards and medical journeys and Big Pharma. I watched Dr. Chaffee, what's his name? Oh, you know, I'm thinking about the one that was behind all of this COVID stuff to begin with. Anyhow, the monster, the guy that tortured the puppies and the kittens and the little children.
Mm-hmm. I can't think of the name right now.
The COVID czar.
I don't want to remember names.
You're thinking
like
of Fauci?
That.
Fauci, that's who, yeah, Fauci. He was sitting with Bill Gates, and they were talking about these are the depopulation czars. These are the they should be charged with genocide. Fauci needs to be charged with genocide. And this is why they are so paranoid, absolutely paranoid about Trump getting back into office. Trump knows better. He was surrounded before in that snake pit with traitors. But now he knows more about how to vet these people, how to find out who is who. And he's got more help. So if he gets back in, they realize, look, he'll have the military behind him. And that's why they're trying to kill him. Trump himself had said that he believes the FBI was involved with his assassination attempts. And so, anyhow, we'll be back after this.
I didn't see a lot of information to argue against him, did you?
No. We'll be right back with more. I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver, a little gold, but in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. Looking forward. I'm going to have a mansion. I know I'm going to have a mansion. You know, I've got God's word on it. Don't get any better than that, does it? It'll happen.
Hey, Ken, do you know how to sound good when you're singing?
Me? No, I don't know how to sound good at all when I'm singing.
Well, like Pastor Ernie does, he sings with an angel, and he sounds so much better.
Yeah.
Anyhow,
but yeah, that was Miss Esty Christman.
Christine, yeah.
So that's Christmas. The secret. You gotta find an angel to sing behind you.
And Brian Park and yours truly, old Pastor Ernie. We sang a lot. I wrote about 40 songs, you know. Did you know I could write songs and record them?
Well, you wrote the words to the songs.
Not on that one.
You wrote the music?
No. I just sang it.
That one you took from the, yeah.
Yeah, they wanted me to be the voice. And that, I wrote about 40 different songs. We did sing a number of them for Esty, yeah. And so, anyhow, I haven't written any in a long time.
Well, I'm sure your mansion will have plenty of gold records in it.
Yeah, that would be something.
Just lining the walls, all the gold records.
Yeah. Somebody actually made a record, painted in gold, and brought it to the church one time, and left it there for me with a note. Here's your first gold record.
So. One story we better get in before the end of the program. So many, I don't think a lot of people have realized, but there's this big strike getting ready to happen, possibly as early as tomorrow. And this strike is going to, if it happens, it's going to have a tremendous effect on this country for two reasons. One, just with Christmas coming, merchants have been worried about this, grocery stores, everybody's been panicked because they say for every day that all these ports are shut down, it will take at least 6 days to recover. So if this strike goes for a month, it'll take 6 months to recover, which is horrible because right now what's going on? This hurricane. Think about the horrible damage. These people, many of them have lost all their clothing. Everything in their home is gone. They're going to the stores, and the stores were destroyed, and the ones that are open were sold out of everything they had within a few hours. And if we lock up these harbors, a huge amount of all the produce, food, the fresh fruits and vegetables, clothing, Christmas, all this stuff is coming in by to these docks. And if it's not unloaded, we are going to be in one mell of a hess, can we say?
Yeah, but Joe, do you know that could be avoided so easily? Did you ever hear the Taft-Hartley Act?
Biden doesn't believe in it.
He came out
and said, no, I'm not doing anything because I don't believe in it.
All he has to do is invoke that act because of the hurricane.
Right, because it's a disaster.
Right, it's a disaster, and therefore all he has to do, and Congress can enforce that. They can enforce that. They could even use the National Guard or the military to enforce it.
Right, but you got to remember, Biden is worried about the union, and he's trying to be supportive to get the union. Get the union vote for the Dems. But here's behind the scenes. Remember the Secretary of Commerce? Most people don't know who she is. Her name's Gina Raimondo, and she's not very focused. She said this herself. She said, "quote." She hasn't been particularly involved in the potential workers' strike at the ports. She's the Secretary of Commerce now. Think about this.
Well, remember, look who the borders are. The border czar is.
Right, right. And
does anyone go to work?
Yeah, worried at all. But we're looking at a giant disaster. This could crush the economy. This could bring about not just a recession, but a depression. It could be totally debilitating for all these people who need to rebuild their lives all over the South there. And we have this person that goes, well, you know, what'd she say, a follow-up? She was asked questions like, what would affect if the strike lasts longer than a week? And she said, quote, I have not been very focused on that. I would refer you to the White House or the Transportation Secretary. Your Transportation Secretary, you know, he's out to lunch. He has no idea what's going on. And again, when they pressed her again about the possible effects, she dodged the question. She said, quote, she didn't want to violate the Hatch Act because she was there in her personal capacity, whatever that means. I haven't been particularly involved.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Okay.
She and Joe Biden don't believe in the Hatch Act, so they're
let me ask you this.
Even though it's the law, they're going to ignore it.
Joe, let me ask you this. This would be a national disaster, and would that be a disaster or could be reason enough to postpone the election?
That might be reason enough to postpone an election because of the chaos that will be ensuing, the economic problems, yes.
Would that be enough for them to retire old Joe and say it's time, old Joe, for you to go out to pasture and insert, you know, because all they've done is inserted Kamala.
Right.
So Kamala never got any votes.
Which would give her a boost in the coming election, right?
Well, she would be in office, and she would have the ability to declare martial law.
Exactly. Or she could come in and bring in the Taft, bring in things and kind of put a halt to it right about the last moment possible and avert the problem and become a hero, and that would help her get elected, right?
Yeah. Remember, too, what they've been saying, that Jamie Raskin, the communist, who said that he has been saying if Trump wins, we will not certify it. We will not certify if Trump wins. So they're saying the Constitution is gone. And now John Kerry is saying
they've been ignoring the Constitution since the day they got in power.
Right.
So that's nothing new, I'm afraid, unfortunately.
And so John Kerry says it's time to eliminate the First Amendment, that the First Amendment should not be for today. It's causing us too much trouble. We need to eliminate it. We have too much freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
And so
well,
now
he wants everything changed because it gets in the way of what information he doesn't like and thinks should be censored. He explained this. I wonder, his words are weird. The dislike of and anguish over social media is just growing and growing. It's part of our problem, particularly in democracies. We're a republic, but he doesn't know that. In terms of building consensus around any issue, it's really hard to govern today. You can't, the referees we used to have to determine what is a fact and what isn't a fact have been kind of eviscerated to a certain degree, and people go and self-select where they go for their news, for their information, and then you get into a vicious cycle, and basically he's saying everybody's getting their news from these wrong places. Conservative news outlets are the problem, and then they don't go along with the correct opinion, or they don't follow the government's wishes. So what they're trying to say is the government knows best. The government should tell us what to do, what to eat, what to wear, how much money we can have, everything. They want to control our life completely.
Well, remember what
John Kerry to take control your life?
Hillary has been out making the rounds. She's making all the talk shows, and she's telling people, don't worry, something big is going to happen in October. Something
October surprise.
Right. It always does, she says. And so they've got some very wicked, wicked plans for America. Something to do with the election. Okay. And so we'll see what happens. But I know this, that the American people better get out and vote. And if you're not registered.
Overwhelming numbers.
And vote early.
if you can. I mean, as soon as your state's, I believe it might be October 8th here in Ohio. But if you, as soon as your state allows you to vote early, go and do it, because that's what they're doing.
Well,
unfortunately, we have to play by their rules right now.
So we can win, so we can get in office and change it back to the one day that it's supposed to be.
Yes.
Right? If we want to fix the problem,
paper
we have
ballots,
to win the
yes.
election to fix the problem.
There's a deadline coming up, too, and I got to tell people in Ohio, this issue, one, is remember what happened last time. You folks, you allowed them to confuse you. Issue one is right from the pit of hell. And so the guy that's behind this, remember who Obama's attorney general was? Eric who?
Holder.
Holder. He's the one that's behind this. He is the one that's behind this. It's gerrymandering. You want to vote no. Vote no. Now tell everybody you know out there, this is another scam. It's another scam. It's, you know, out there, put out there. And all the money that's coming in to put these signs out is coming from outside the state of Ohio. And so, folks, no, you got to tell everybody, you people in Ohio, you got to tell your neighbors, don't vote no, vote no, vote no on issue one. And so we're going to be, you know, we've talked about what it's all about, but we're going to do it again. About 2 weeks ago, I had Massey on here, and we, Brian Massey, and we discussed, and we also had, I think, Charlie Johnston, and we discussed it. We'll do it again. We got to let people know to vote no on issue one. And so, but the main thing is be registered to vote. There's a deadline here in Ohio that's coming up very quick.
I believe it's October 7th.
Yeah, I think so.
In a lot of places, I think it's 6, 7, and 8 all across around the country, a lot of states.
But double check on that, because I'm not 100% sure. I believe it's October 7th, the deadline for registering.
How much time do we have left tonight?
We've got 5, 6, 7 minutes.
Do it, Joey. Do it.
Okay. I'm going to start with one of my favorite hymns. Again, a hymn is poetry put to music, really. It's God's word in another form. Up Calvary's mountain one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Father, forgive them, thus did he pray, and while his lifeblood flowed fast away, praying for sinners while in such woe, no one but Jesus ever, ever loved so. Oh, how I love him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeded, dying for me. There is no greater love than to give your life, the scripture says, for another. Jesus gave his life in the most horrible way possible. He was beaten almost to death, humiliated, placed on the cross. And not only was his suffering just about as horrible as you can do to any living human being, on top of that, on his sinless, spotless soul was dumped all the sins of this whole ugly world. The cheating, the lies, the mayhem, the murders, the rapes, the stealing, the you name it. That had to be, we know as human beings, we've learned that emotional pain is worse than physical pain. Being cheated by a friend, a divorce, losing a loved one, emotional pain is the worst there is. His emotional pain was beyond understanding. He went to the cross because, well, it said God so loved the world, right, that he gave his only only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we know that him, blessed Redeemer, he brought us what? Redemption. In Colossians 1:13-14, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. In 1 Peter 1:18-19, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot. We know Scripture said a high priest would have to slaughter a bullock, a bull animal, cow, and his blood would cover the sins of the high priest, so the high priest could go and slaughter a small sheep, and the blood of that sheep would temporarily cover the sins of the entire nation of Israel. And Christ came, the most precious commodity in the universe, the blood of God's only Son, and he willingly went to that cross. Why Galatians 4:4-5, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, that we might be able to be sons and daughters of the living God. And to do this, we know Jesus himself told us the answer. He told Nicodemus that ye must be born again. If you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. You must have a spiritual rebirth, a spiritual birth, baptism. Then to do that, you have to ask God to forgive you of those sins from a truly repentant heart, that you're sorry that your sins placed his Son on that cross, that Jesus had to go to that cross to pay the price for your sins. And if you go to God and ask him to be forgiven with a truly repentant heart, he will forgive you. God is willing, quick to forgive if you're repentant. And then you can call upon Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of mankind, the Savior, and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, to be your Savior, that you accept him as your, as God Almighty, and that you want to give yourself to him willingly, completely, without reservation, make him first place in your life. And he will then give you that indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. That is your spiritual baptism.
One
At
minute,
point,
Joe.
You become a new creation.
One minute.
A child of the kingdom, a son or daughter of the living God. You become a joint heir with Jesus in everlasting life. It says you are born again, you are made new, and your life will be changed forever. Once you do that, you are saved, always saved, eternally. You start to grow in knowledge and love of God, grow closer in understanding. It is the most important decision anyone can ever make in their life. I can't make it for you. Pastor Ernie can't. You must understand that God gave you this way out of hell. He gave you a pathway to salvation. Everything getting to God goes through his Son, Jesus. You must accept Jesus as your Redeemer, King, your Savior. If you do that, you
That's,
will end
that
up
is
in heaven.
Right. That's We're right. out of time. And you know, Joe, mercy is God not giving us what we deserve, and
exactly.
grace is giving us what we don't deserve. And so it's time to say mercy. Good night.
Good night
out there.
Good night.
God bless.
God bless
you.
And always, always, always,
always,
always.
Keep.
Fighting
the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's right, what's left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.